Okay, Isaiah chapter 40, if you would please. I'd like to consider a small portion of the second section of Isaiah, particularly beginning in chapter 54. But as you see, the second primary section of Isaiah begins at chapter 40 with comfort, likened to much of the message of the New Testament. Comfort and peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 40, verse 1 begins, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. And then in this familiar passage, you'll see the reminder of the one that would come and prepare the way, the forerunner, as we know him in the New Testament, as John the Baptist. And on through these chapters in the 40s, as it were, we see much that describe the character of our God. But let's turn over further. And as I mentioned, from 42 to 53, we find those servant songs of Jehovah that speak in clarity of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we see in this middle section, the heart of the message of Isaiah. As you look at those four servant songs, we're reminded that he's the delighted servant. You see, it's kind of a developing theme. In 42, we don't see things concerning that servant and suffering. We're reminded that he's the one that's the son of the Father's delight there in 42. And then you see in 49, you begin to get a glimpse of how he would suffer. And then we see in chapter 50, that third servant song, it speaks in great clarity about things that he would endure. It speaks about how he gave his back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Yes, we begin to see what would happen to this suffering Savior, this servant of Jehovah. Thus, by the time you come to the fourth of those servant songs, at the end of 52, beginning in verse 13, it says, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many as were astonished at thee, his visions were so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." And from here to the end of 53, we see the greatest Old Testament depiction of what the Savior would go through. It would speak in very clear terms of the one who was wounded or pierced for our transgressions, who was bruised or that is crushed for our iniquities. And thus we see the Lord Jesus Christ is the righteous servant of Jehovah. So in this section that deals with the comfort that we have in and through the Lord Jesus, I'd like to consider a few portions here, beginning in chapter 54. Chapter 54. In this chapter, we see reminders of the relationship of Israel with the Lord God of Israel. In these early verses, we're reminded here of the, as verse 5 says, "Thy maker is thine husband." And then as we drop down, please notice with me, please, at verse 9. "For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee." So we find here things concerning his everlasting covenant. We see a reminder back to Noah, and we're reminded, of course, of that rainbow that spoke of that covenant, that he would not flood the entire earth again. And here we're reminded of God's great covenant with his people. And if you hold a finger there go back to Psalm 89. Here's an example of God's word and his word of promise, his covenant with Israel. In one of the messianic psalms, Psalm 89, verse 33. "Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn in my holiness, that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever. His throne is the sun before me. And so we're reminded here of the faithfulness of our God. It shall be established forever as the moon, as the faithful witness in heaven, Selah. So we find that Isaiah the prophet could remind them that the Lord will keep his promises, that he will keep his everlasting covenant with Israel. Why? Because of the Lord Jesus, the coming Messiah, the one that would come through that line of the kingly line of David. So we go back to Isaiah 54. In this section, reminding us of the comfort that would be found in the Lord God. We then go over to the next chapter, chapter 55. And here we find a compassionate Lord. As the prophet's reminding Israel of the compassionate Lord. Verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come, ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without price, without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Ho, everyone that thirsts, come. Perhaps you recall the message in John 4 about that woman at the well and how that water that you drink of, you'll be thirsty again. But if you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never thirst again. For what we need fulfilled is that spiritual thirst that can only be fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation vast, full, and free through Him. Ho, everyone that thirsts, come. And yet in that same portion we read, you may have noticed there, verse 3, about a covenant once again. This everlasting covenant, and he ties it in with the sure mercies of David. Remember how the Lord is the coming king through that line of David. And that the promises given to David would not perish, but yet it would be fulfilled in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is not only the son of David, but the Lord of David. You know, you see this likened and quoted in the book of Acts. In the early messages and sermons of Acts, in Acts 13, where we find Paul and Barnabas in their first missionary journey as they go forth, we find them in open air giving an address. And in Acts 13, he ties in, does Paul, several quotes from the Old Testament, particularly in connection with David. For example, in Acts 13:22, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto him David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom ye that I am? And I am not he. But behold, there cometh one after me whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. And he goes on from there, and he speaks of the one that would come and to die, and the one that would be raised from the dead. Down in verse 32. But we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God fulfilled the same unto us, their children, and that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is written in the second psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. As concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. There's our portion from Isaiah 55. The sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. And so he ties in here to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sure mercies of David. As God had made promise to Israel that the Lord, the Messiah, would come one day and would sit upon that throne. We know him as the Lord Jesus Christ. And his promises are fulfilled in the fact that he has died, he's buried, and he rose again the third day. Because of that resurrection, we see confirmation upon the sure mercies of David that God will not only keep his promises to Israel, but yet he keeps his promises to you and me. That because of his resurrection, that we have the promise of eternal life. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? We see this book of Isaiah rich concerning salvation truths. So we go back to Isaiah. Isaiah 55. As we find this portion, the compassionate Lord. The one that is saying, come ye that are thirsty. Well, down in 55, also verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That is, multiply, he will abundantly pardon. As we're told to seek that one, and to call upon him, as the Spirit of God convicts you of a need of a Savior. Convicts you of sin, we see the answer is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Calling upon him, receiving him as your Lord and Savior, and he will abundantly pardon. We know that he is the one that will forgive sins because of the finished work on the cross of Calvary. Yet he goes on to remind us of the very character of God. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We think of this all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-present God. You know, in the book of Romans, I find it encouraging to read about the very character of God in Romans at the end of chapter 11. In a similar way, it says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? And so we think of this one who is beyond us, and yet he has precious thoughts for you and me. As in the Psalm 139, it speaks about the multitude of the precious thoughts he has for you and me. Let's go back to Isaiah. And so as we find in Isaiah 55, those last verses illustrate this compassionate Lord. For example, in verse 10, as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For there shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. God is the promise-keeping God to his people Israel. And yet, to us who are in his spiritual body, we that know him as our Savior, he is a promise-keeping God. So we've seen this compassionate Lord as it's illustrated here. In our last moments, let's quickly go to chapter 56 and 7. chapter 56, we're reminded here of salvation for foreigners. As you think of how the Lord is speaking to Judah, in a broader sense to Israel, and yet we see his compassionate hand going out to the nations. It's interesting to find the term Gentile or nations in the book of Isaiah. And through here we find that it's not just Israel that can benefit from the compassion of the Lord God of Israel. But as you see, moving into the New Testament, we see that the gospel is also given out to the nations, given out to the peoples of the world, that we may know him. So in this chapter, we find things concerning salvation to various ones. We see the term eunuch is Acts 8 many times here in this section. But then notice particularly verse 7. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. You think of that term, the house of prayer, there in Matthew 21. It shall be called a house of prayer. And so as the nations can benefit from this gospel message, you must be born again. Finally, at the end of that chapter, we find that it speaks about a warning to Israel's, you might say, irresponsible leaders. So he's giving words of challenge there. And then finally, we're going to see in 57, is Israel is futile of how they are guilty of idolatry, but yet the Lord is still willing to bring comfort to those that repent. Notice there in 57 verse 14. 57:14. And shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And so we're reminded here of 1 Peter uses such language about humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you. We are to humble ourselves before God and acknowledge our sin and turn to the one who is the Savior. But notice here at the end of chapter 57, as we've pointed out on the chart, that the end of each subsection of this latter part of Isaiah ends with this statement, there is no peace for the wicked. There is no peace for the wicked. Yes, the message of these latter chapters of Isaiah, beginning in chapter 40 through 66, is comfort and peace, and how the God of Israel is calling out and offering peace and comfort. But for those that reject the Lord, there is no peace for the wicked. There is no peace for the wicked. Verse 20 reads, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters came up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. We are all born sinners. We are all in need of a Savior. Trust in him today. As the Lord gave message through Isaiah to Judah and to Israel in a broader sense, judgment is coming. But if you receive the truth of the Messiah, you see and receive the truth of the Savior, then there is joy. There is joy and a shout of joy for us that know the Savior. I pray that each one present today will know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, with this great message from Isaiah that is through Christ and Christ alone we have salvation. Let's look to the Lord in prayer.